Today on our CSC Sports Podcast, we're talking with new men's head basketball coach Shane Paben. A lot of new excitement in the air here at The Rock in Shadron with our new coach in town. Coach, welcome to The Rock. Glad to have you part of the program and the school now. And you were hired during the coronavirus pandemic. A lot of strange things going on. I guess, you know, let's start with that process a little bit. What's it like so far being in Shadron, and how was it getting hired during the coronavirus? Certainly a strange situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll first thank you. Excited to be here, and I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And the world's a different place right now the last, 3 months now, a little over 3 months, just for everyone included, just around the world. So being, you know, hired during the coronavirus, it's just, I kind of joke around, it's, you got a lot more practice with Zoom, I guess, especially the hiring committee, because they had to do a lot more interviews than me just being on a few of them. So, yeah, it's just, you know, have your good Zoom personality, I guess, and make sure you wear pants and don't get up. And I've seen some of those jokes or videos, and I'm laughing, going, yeah, don't go in there bottomless.
Absolutely, yeah. You hope the dog doesn't run around the corner and start barking and making noise or something there. I when you were doing these Zoom interviews, did they walk a laptop around campus for you? Or I know you've coached here before, and we'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, did they show you campus just by walking around with a laptop? How'd that work?
I kind of, like, since I've been here before, I said, we didn't have to do that. I was like, someone joked, like, well, I go, has it changed a lot since I've been there? But was it 3 years ago now? And he goes, well, we're putting in a new track. And I go, that's nice. And I was like, okay. You know, like, it's just, I've been on enough college campuses, and I mean, I already have a feel of what Shadron was. So
yeah,
I kind of, I wouldn't say ducked out of it, but I said it wasn't necessary since I kind of knew what the campus was all about already.
Right. And new football stadium, probably since you've been here last, and that'll be exciting for you to see you out at games here at Shadron at the new stadium, something exciting. And obviously, you know about the Chicoine Center and those things we'll get into in a bit too. But Coach Paben, tell us about your family. Who are you getting settled into life with here in the Panhandle? And then talk about your first, you know, few days, weeks here in town as a new resident of Shadron.
Well, that, you know, the coronavirus affects a lot of things with my wife and my two. I have two boys that are 2 and 3, so we're trying to figure out with Corona and her job what's going to happen. So I'm out here. I'm a bachelor right now, so they got me in a dorm for a little bit as I try to find a place for us to stay.
Okay.
And a lot of it just, it's just a Corona thing. It's just figuring out. My wife's an audiologist, so I think with her medical background, she probably sees more fear than most people. So, and she's very cautious about how we're going to go about this process. And a lot of it deals with Corona and then her job and how she's going to translate from her job, or her position will change a little bit as she can move, as we move to Shadron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coach Shane Paben with us today on our CSC Sports Show as we visit with the new head coach at Eagle Men's Basketball. Let's kind of get into why this was the job for you, Coach. I'd mentioned you coached with the Bellevue Bruins before, and so you've been to the Chicoine Center. Why'd you pick Shadron State for your next destination to coach? And you know, did coaching in that Chicoine Center resonate with you when you were thinking, hey, I could be the head coach in this building?
I never thought that. What else? We were coding. I would never assume someone's going to, like, leave or anything's going to happen to the current coach at an institution. But I was very impressed. You know, Houston, I get the tour when I was here, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty amazing. He showed me Armstrong, and he goes, this is what we changed from. I'm like, this is definitely an upgrade. So, you know, I think everyone in Shadron should be proud and excited about the Chicoine Center. And I'd probably not it's not new anymore for the local people, but it's still a first-class facility. And, you know, just talking to Houston and what does Shadron State kind of want to do for the program, it got me more interested, because it's nice when you know the previous coach or you have relationships where you can go, you know, I know Houston wish he had a better record here. And I think that was one of his tough decisions. He really wanted to turn it around here, but he had a great opportunity to go with Coach Smiley, his college teammates in Northern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of broke down, you know, how the sausage is made here, and how I think President Ryan and Joel, they want to turn things around, and I think they're giving our programs, not just in men's basketball, the tools to do so. And being, you know, having a good, you know, 11 years of head coaching experience, it's really helped me understand like how programs can be successful. Mm-hmm. It's not you as a coach all the time. It's just if you're administration, if you have support from them. And I think we have complete support from the administration and for budgets and stuff like that, because kids nowadays, you know, they want to see the backing, and it's usually through the finances of travel, scholarshiping, facilities, and all those good things. And then like support personnel for academics. You know, we got two great strength condition coaches, so there's a lot of tools here that I think have really come around the last few years. Like, you'd probably be more attest to that anyway, but you know, the meat I think is on the bone now, and I think there's going to be a tremendous opportunity to see an uptick in Shatters men's basketball and maybe an entire athletic program. I know the football team's had a great success, but everyone else is striving to kind of go up in the conference ladder and make some more NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about the Chicoine Center and some of the successes, you know, that Coach Reed had, especially a couple years ago when the Eagles had that team that was making a run towards the RMAC tournament and nearly got in, just how loud and boisterous and much of a nightmare that arena could be for opponents. It's really exciting to hear your excitement in it and talk about what you want to build with this program and using that facility and attracting recruits and just the great things that could happen. And as we look at the roster now, Coach, can you give us some updates on who's coming back? In your press conference, you mentioned a few of the key returners that you had noted and talked about that sounded like they were coming back. But can you update us on the roster, who you're looking for coming back, and maybe how you've been able to meet or visit any of the team the last couple of weeks with the coronavirus and guys away for the summer? Have you been able to get closer to any of those guys and get to see them play at all?
Yeah, but there's a few guys here on campus, got some campus jobs. They're working like Walmart and McDonald's and stuff like that. I've seen them be able to work. I mean, seen them work out a little bit. There's only four of them, so I mean, our roster, I plan on keeping it intact, just because I think it would be a little unfair to those individuals for me to, you know, make any changes. Now, if, you know, a coaching change, I know they didn't come here to play for me, so if they don't feel comfortable, but I've not been informed, you know, as of June 18th, but I've contacted, I think, or talked to most of them on the phone or saw them in person. Mm-hmm. So seeing them play as a group yet, no, the only thing I've done is seen film. So, and see how they kind of fit in, like what kind of things I like to do as a coach. So, and we've got, you know, obviously I'm sure you've heard, you know, Jesse, I think the kid that set out last year is really talented, and Jacob scored, you know, I think he was the second leading scorer last year.
Yeah.
So I think those are nice two pieces. And then, you know, getting Walker back from his injury is also going to be important, because he's kind of a spark plug for the team, it looked like. You know, some emotions sometimes you got to keep in check, but that's I'd rather deal with that problem when they're kind of walking around like a zombie.
Yeah, he's real competitive, real competitive guy, and you bet with Walker.
Yeah, and I think he has some other, like our bigs are kind of set. I haven't looked at it really bringing in a big right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think those are kind of all set, and we're just looking, you know, because we lost pretty much our entire guard core. So I think those are big voids to fill right now.
Talking with the new Eagle men's basketball coach Shane Pabin here today in the podcast. Coach, you had excellent success at Bellevue, won a lot of games with the Bruins over on the other side of the state. How were you able to really build that program to such a high level and have excellent success there?
Well, the biggest thing, what we did, we kind of, you have to figure out what type of school and institution you're at. This, you know, what can you sell? What's the positives for every university? And Bellevue was an open enrollment school, and we were able to get a lot of young men who were, you know, probably their first generation college students for their family, and help them get to earn their degrees and have an opportunity to play basketball. And the dynamics, I mean, the culture and dynamics of college basketball, probably since I got in out of high school and into college 15 years ago, has just changed dramatically, to where kids are, you know, social media and all that stuff. It's just like the world's a much smaller place, so they're willing to travel. And also, when they're willing to travel, they're willing to leave Nebraska too. So you have to be able to have a niche. And we did a really good job just because Bellevue did not have dorms for most of the time I was there. So the campus life was probably lacking. There wasn't a big need or want to have a lot of campus life there. So we were able to get a lot of transfers from the junior college ranks and other, and develop our program that way. So, and we had a lot of luck for it. I kind of went to the policy of we recruited the coaches, and then the coaches kind of informed us on the players, because you kind of know how their coaches develop their program, the structure they have, and if they could be successful with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, looking over some of these rosters that you had, you've got guys from Florida and states all around, different schools. What is kind of your key to getting the cohesiveness of a team to gel and be able to maintain consistent success when you got guys who a lot of them probably want to have the ball maybe all at the same time, or a lot of guys play different styles and systems and you have to gel all that together? What's your secret to creating the chemistry between players who come from all different teams, programs, and areas of the country?
We like to talk about sacrifice, and we do that. We talk to them in recruiting, like, this is not a place where you're probably going to get to shoot 20 or 25 times a game. You know, we want to talk about sacrificing, you know, some shots and letting your teammates have success. And we talk about shot selection. You know, when you just talk about how you should sacrifice and be servant leaders for each other and support your teammates, because you want to celebrate in their success, because their success is probably going to be part of your success. You know, I've never won a game. I've lost games as a coach, but I've never won a game as a coach. The players have kind of all done that. And you want to make sure they know and feel appreciative. And we really just do it in recruiting. Like, it's not about you. It's about us. Mm-hmm. And your success will happen. And we talk to a lot of our guys because we had a lot of team success, and that's, I say, with team success becomes individual awards. And so, you know, a lot of basketball players have dreams of playing overseas and stuff, and getting them to buy into your program and the team success will give you more opportunities to go overseas, get individual awards, has been a theme that I think players have bought into. You know, obviously the ones that buy in, they have more success. The ones that want to buck the system and do their own thing, it never goes that well. Because it's just like you're just fighting the current, and it's just like, just kind of give in and be a part of this and you'll enjoy the process. It's not going to be smooth, or it's not going to be flipping a light on. Like, it's not going to be instantaneous, but those guys we bring in, we do have a policy. We like to recruit from schools that we know the coaches, and usually those coaches, you know, they come from winning programs. Like, in recruiting right now, we're talking to a lot of guys who they've won a lot of games, and they have the expectation to win when they come here.
Mm-hmm. Always good to have that winning pedigree and have that thirst, that hunger for a victory, know what it's like to get it, and then strive for it. And I think it's great to hear, you know, your philosophies on how going forward with that. In terms of the team concept, you see a lot of that in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. There are so many teams that you can just tell that there's so much to the system that makes them successful, and guys buying into it and working for the team. And exciting to see that coming again here to Shadron State with our new head coach in Shane Pabon on the show. And as we're visiting about, you know, personnel, rosters, recruiting, things like that, there have been so many changes, I guess, with the NCAA this summer. It's hard to keep up on when you can talk to people, when you can't, dead periods, this and that, when you can bring people in. I mean, what are you allowed to do right now in recruiting? How are you recruiting? And, you know, we've already talked about kind of the philosophy for it, but what's going on with recruiting right now as you get ready to try and fully assemble the team going forward?
I spend a lot of time on the phone. That's the biggest thing. It's a dead period where you can't go out, and there's some events, but it's not probably worth our time because we got to finish up recruiting for the coming season. But we spend a lot of time on the phone. We could bring him in, but I probably won't bring anybody in on campus just because I really don't want to risk flights and all that stuff. It's just, you know, it's kind of a third rail right now, like, where you could risk a lot of things, or you can just do a lot of like virtual tours of a school and athletic facility. And I think that's fine, because, you know, I think the elephant in the room all the time is just talking to kids and like, hey, we are in Western Nebraska. We're in the Panhandle. We're 100 miles away from Mount Rushmore. So it's just like, understand, you know, where you're kind of going to. I think there's a lot of advantages. It's very beautiful out here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a negative, but just so kids understand, they're not coming to a bigger city like Omaha. They're coming to Shadow, Nebraska, and it's going to be a great college environment town, which I think the town, the university, they're just really striving to see success, and you'll be a big fish in a small pond, but you have success and they will support you. And yeah, I'll give credit to the city and the school. Even without it, the city and schools have done a great job supporting all of our athletes. You know, I could see that going through the city and just whoever I meet, they want them to be successful.
Mm-hmm. And Coach, you know, being out here, I've been out in Western Nebraska for since 2004, you know, did high school games for many, many years in a city, couple of hours south, been doing Shadron State games now going into a sixth season. So it's coaches always talk about, you know, locking down the borders and keeping in-state kids and looking at your Bellevue teams. You know, you've had kids from those big Omaha area schools and Lincoln schools. And, you know, you go to state high school basketball here in Nebraska. And, I mean, there are some tremendous players that go on to big colleges, go on to smaller level colleges, but are just amazing high school players. And, you know, you sometimes wish, man, we got to keep these guys in state somehow or pull them away from the Huskers. And in your case, grab them for Bellevue. In our case, grab them for CSC. Back in the day, do you want to try and show, you know, Eastern Nebraska high school kids to come out west? It seems more difficult to get Eastern Nebraska high school kids to want to come west as opposed to maybe Western kids who decide to go out to the east. Is that something that you've thought about in your recruiting or an approach you want to take?
The one thing for recruiting is I'm open to everything. I don't think you want to shut the doors, but you only have so many staff members and so many hours in the day. So we want to work hard, but we want to work intelligent, you know, work smarter, not just harder.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's not as many schools around here, so we can evaluate the area talent within, 3 or 4 hours. It's not going to be that hard. It's not like you're in the Metroplex of Dallas where there's probably, you know, about 100-plus high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing players and, you know, just hearing word of mouth, like, Coach, take a look. It doesn't take any time to, like, see some film and see if that person fits your system, if they're from the Panhandle or they're from the eastern part. I'm not going to sit there and say, like, our bread and butter is going to be in Omaha. That's going to be hard. You know, you give kids opportunities. And you also have to understand, like, what kind of opportunities they could have, you know, if they come out of here. We had a lot of success with L.A. kids because they got out of situations where it's probably not very advantageous, where they want to get their degree, go to school, and be good human beings, but they grew up in Compton. So getting out of the kind of the muck and the mire of that and coming to Shadron is, you know, Shadron or even Omaha, it's just like, because Bellevue was kind of like, you know, the southern tip. We were close enough to cornfields, we thought they were in the country still, in the Air Force Base. So, I mean, locking down anything, I think, is it's coach speak, or I'm just going to be open to anything. But we're going to, you know, give offers and or look at people and see if they're interested in Shadron. I think, like, we've talked to a lot of recruits these last few weeks, and if they're excited about us, you know, it makes you excited about them. It's I don't want to talk anybody into coming here because then it's like you're kind of trying to please them. And it's, you know, I always look at recruiting as a relationship or dating. It's just like you have to feel comfortable with me and the school you're coming to, because I always tell them, if you don't want to go to class and get your degree, don't come here, because you're not going to like me, because I will make you go to class. And if you don't do that, you're going to be, you know, we had a rower back in the school. So, you know, those things are important to me. And if they're important to that student athlete, it's going to be a good fit. So recruiting is just finding that relationship. And there's a lot of players out there. You just have to bang some more bushes. And like we've had some, I think we have some good offers out right now. So hopefully some of those guys are able to commit. And I would be very excited seeing the possibilities of some of the young men we've just offered us recently. So I know Taylor's really excited, so he seems really pumped. So
yeah,
his excitement gets me excited too.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Shane Pabon talking about how he's going to build his CSC program, our new men's basketball coach here for Shadron State College on the podcast. What kind of adjustments, Coach, are you thinking you may have to make now that you go from NAIA up to D2? Do you think there are many differences between the levels or adjustments you're going to have to make with on-court and off-court kind of things as now you jump into the RMAC at the D2 level?
Yeah, the nice thing about coaching for a while at the NAI, there's been so many schools that have moved up, like Sioux Falls is one of them, Coach Johnson. And being able to talk to all these NEI guys that have moved up to the Division II level, you know, even the Walsh coach, you know, in Ohio, they're Davenport in Michigan, and Azusa Pacific. There's just been so many NEI schools that have moved up this last decade,
mm-hmm.
and being able to touch base with those guys and seeing, like, what's the change? And, you know, obviously I have theories, and you just kind of see if those theories are correct. And they all kind of – they basically pretty much said the same thing. You just need to – everyone needs to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
It's just like – your wings, your guards, you know, your bigs. Your bigs are not going to be, they're just going to be, the bigs are a little bit thicker. So he's just like, yeah, that's the change. And that's probably changed universally. The higher level you go, everyone's just a little bit taller,
mm-hmm.
a little bit thicker. You know, people don't realize how thick NBA players are. And when I was coaching in Oklahoma City, down in Southern Nazarene, the Thunder came to our, and they, when they moved in town, they came in and used our gym, and just those guys were just so thick. You can understand the pounding they have to take for 82 games.
Sure.
And that's just the difference. And obviously athletic ability, but, well, it was good to hear this, but they said, your good guard corps, your top five guard corps would be the, like, unbelievable Division II guard corps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guard that you had at Bellevue would be just as successful in Division II. It's just usually the size of your bigs, because bigs are hard to get. And nice taking this job knowing there's some bigs already here. That's a blessing. That really helped me understand, like, and obviously we've played Shattern, we've played Kearney twice, we played at Southwest Minnesota, played Upper Iowa twice, played Walsh, you know, I saw those teams. We actually had a winning record against Division II opponents. So it's just, you know, you see them. Now, those opponents, and I totally understand this, you see that night in and night out. It's not like it's a highlight game. It's just that's what you see every night.
Mm-hmm.
So. But our guard courts, you know, especially our really good guard courts, really had a lot of success, at, you know, against the Division II teams.
And Coach, you know, you mentioned guards having the big success against some of the Division II teams. You know, I guess let's get into kind of your style of play offensively and defensively, since we're talking guards and also talking the importance of bigs. What kind of teams do you want to have out there to be successful at CSC? And what kind of style of basketball on both sides of the court are you going to play?
Well, I've been asked that numerous times, and we ran a lot of dribble drive at Bellevue because we found really good guards, and we wanted to let those, I always say, let the thoroughbreds run. We don't want to make them Clydesdales when they want to run.
Mm-hmm.
So we played, you know, I wouldn't say we played fast. We played we wanted to play attacking basketball. We talked about getting the ball either through post touches or penetrations, dribble penetration to get to the paint. And then we were, you know, the shooters love me and I love shooters. So, you know, get some attacking penetration, get to the free throw line. And then when people collapse, we'd kick out and we'd hoist up enough threes. We played a very enjoyable style, I heard.
Yeah.
Not so much like on purpose, but it was just like guys liked playing in that style where they could let their talents show instead of, like, you know, the teams that weren't as talented that we had at Bellevue, we kind of had to rein in. And so a lot of people, when they ask that question, there's things I'd love to do, but I got to make sure I have the talent to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get the guards that we're looking at, I think we'll be able to do a lot of things. And I think with the returners from the bigs, it sounds like we could have a pretty potential. We have some good potential then, because obviously Jacob proved that he could score at the Division II level. And then Jesse's, you know, he's still got to prove it. You know, everyone looks really good coming off the airplane sometimes. I'm sure he can, but he still has to do it. So, so I'm excited to get some guys in here and kind of, I just want to get them on court and get in practice and stuff so you can really kind of figure out what they are going to be good at. I'm not like set in stone, like we're going to do this. My defense probably is a little bit, but I will adjust things too.
And what do you like on to do defensively in a philosophy? Are you a pressure type of coach, or you like man to man? You like the full court? What would you like to do defensively?
Oh, I have a. I consider myself a defensive coach. I like to play a lot of man to man, but like anything. I think you got to play like 10% zone just to throw some different curveballs at them to make people adjust. As a coach, I think you can't just sit there and do the same thing over and over the season. You have to like break up the season into parts. This year's going to be a little bit different because it's all conference. But, you know, we're going to play man-to-man defense. We're going to do a lot of the things that, you know, all my teams have done because I think our defense has been pretty salty from past experience and dealing with my assistants and asking them, because when you get into the office, I want to discuss things, and I try to hire guys from other successful programs, ask them what they did there, is there anything we can tweak, throw away, you know, and I'm always trying to constantly learn how to improve, because like for our defense, it's probably not going to be drastic changes, but the little tweaks are going to be a big deal for me, but no one else is going to notice. But it's something where you should always try to be learning and developing as a coach and helping your team become the best team possible, because every year is a little bit different with your personnel.
Sure. And Coach Pavin, let's finish up. We've got almost a half hour of great stuff here. It's been a fun conversation to get to know you and learn about your thoughts on some basketball and things involving coming to CSC. And you touched on academics earlier and being able at Bellevue to get guys maybe coming from tough situations, challenging backgrounds and things, and to come out to Bellevue, get an education, and really turn into some great people and great human beings. And academics are huge. You really want guys to come here and not just succeed in basketball, but also get a great education to secure a great future as well.
Yeah, and they'll hear this. I always want them to have plans for when the ball stops bouncing, because Father Time's undefeated. That's something that I want them to hope for the best, and a lot of it, they want that college scholarship. They're here. Now what's the next thing they want to get to, overseas, have, you know, other things that they want to do with basketball. And that's great. I totally endorse that and support them on their dreams. But, you know, you got to plan. If it doesn't work out, there's an injury, something happens, you're not good enough. It's whatever happens. You know, if you come here and get your degree, that piece of paper is going to travel with you the rest of your life. So it's something that can open up a lot more doors than just being a basketball player. It's going to give you, you know, ample opportunities to develop relationships with people in your classes and stuff. And, you know, life, it's just about having good connections and developing good positive relationships, you know. And that's how a lot of jobs are just got that way. So I want our guys to kind of understand, yeah, use basketball, for a college scholarship. Get some money out of the deal. I don't, you know, all for it. You know, if you want to try to get overseas and you have the ability, just try to get you over there. But what are you going to do after? Because basically what, you're 30 or 35, everyone's done playing their athletics. There's very few, you know, people that play sports past that for a salary. You know, they're very high-level athletes, and some people are very talented that their body just, you know, aren't meant to play athletics, and they break down. You know, the internet's full of a lot of conversations about things right now because of COVID, and there's no sports going on, about, you know, players that got hurt, and we never saw their brilliance come out. But having a plan, and just after, you know, I'll talk to our players about in games and life, is like, you hope for the best, you plan for the worst. It's like, if the worst thing that happens, you come here and get shattering, is you get your degree, life is going to be okay. You know, we all want to be successful, but it's going to really help people just to earn that degree. And it's going to be something that's going to be a must here. And, you know, they'll do the class checks and grade checks and all that good stuff, because it's just a part of what I do as a coach. And a lot of the guys that we recruit, we talk about like seeing a different part of the world or the United States. It's like you can always go back. And I did this as a high school coach when I was trying to get guys to go to college, because the first high school I coached at, only 7 out of 42 students went to college. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, go to college, like, you know, or go to the Marines. I don't care. Like, you can leave where you're from and always come back. And I'm a big person about, like, life is about experiences, not so much like money or anything like that.
Yes,
experience,
yes.
And memories. I think those are more valuable than, you know, your car. You know, it's just like, and if you figure out, you're like, hey, I love this. You know, I've seen guys go, I didn't realize the world was this way. I like it, you know, at X. Mm-hmm. You know, they live in Nebraska now, and they come from Texas or, you know, California or wherever. And it's just like there's positive things to everywhere you go. And kind of seeing different parts of the world is, I think, is fun.
Yeah, I agree. I love hearing that from you. It's fun to think back on times here at Shadrin State. I remember a football bus trip into the Colorado Mountains, and you've got players from California who'd never seen fall colors changing or snow and things like that, and just opens their eyes to new experiences when they take that chance and leave where they had come from to see, you know, what else is out there. So great stuff, Coach. And there he is, fans, Shane Pabin, your new CSC head men's basketball coach. Coach, this was a lot of fun getting to learn about you and your family and how things are going to come together for you here at Shadrin State. We're delighted to have you here in town as part of the program and the community, and wish you all the best, and really excited to work with you here as we move towards basketball season and then hop in to the schedule as well. So thank you so much for the time and taking part in the podcast here today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, and everyone stay safe and healthy. I appreciate the time to talk to you too.